Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 23rd of November. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with invited guests discussing the issues of the day. With you for the next 2 hours. If you want to get involved with today's show, then here are the numbers as always.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
A myriad ways to get in contact with us on today's show. We're going to be discussing a variety of issues, including lockdowns sweeping across Europe, riots relating to those lockdowns. Have we had enough? Are we now thinking, okay, we are living with the virus, let's get on with it, we don't need the lockdowns? Let me know about that. Also looking at the situation of immigration between Belarus and Poland, and also the situation in the UK as well. Is the UK overreacting to the migrant crisis? Reading yesterday that Germany takes in, I think, is it three times more migrants than the UK does? Is it just knee-jerk little Englanders reacting to the pictures splashed across the media? Let me know about that, or anything else that crosses your radar. 952-78-4000. But first off, let's have a look. Let's have a look at what's making the front pages in the UK and Spain. PM's Peppa Pig speech stokes Tory anger. Has the Prime Minister lost his grip? I'd like to hear from you as well. Needless to say, when you are talking to the leaders of British industry, why not bring up a children's TV programme? Today, Tuesday's papers are quick to pick up on the Peppa Pig theme in Boris Johnson's speech to business leaders. A pork pie short of a picnic is how the Daily Star sums up the Prime Minister's performance. The Guardian pictures a smiling Mr. Johnson wearing a beanie on a ride at Peppa Pig World. He describes his address as rambling and says he's losing the confidence of the Tory party. According to the Financial Times, there are calls from senior Tories to shake up the Downing Street team. And the Times says the speech, combined with the rebellion on social care, prompted one government source to express concern about stumble after stumble, a warning that people are sharpening their knives. The Conservative parties are more ruthless than Brutus as March begins. The Telegraph is more sympathetic towards Mr. Johnson. It says that even if he lost his way, the speech, in which he was characteristically colourful, using Peppa Pig as an example of how seemingly an unprepossessing idea can become a global commercial success. It argues his political appeal derives from his ability to connect with ordinary people using parallels they can understand. The Daily Mail's city editor, Alex Brummer, thinks that by invoking Peppa as a great British export, Mr. Johnson was seeking to reinvigorate his reputation as a supporter of private enterprise. The Times lead is based on an article written for the paper by the woman who led the COVID vaccine task force, Kate Bingham. She claims the country would have faced months of delays in getting jabs if it had been up to the normal machinery of government. She says there's a devastating lack of skills in science and industry, although she does praise the intelligence and work ethic of individual civil servants. The paper thinks her remarks echo criticisms made by Mr. Johnson's former chief advisor, Dominic Cummings. According to the Mail's lead, the parole board in England and Wales is facing a major shake-up, prompted by the widespread fury about the release of the child killer, Colin Pitchfork. It says the Justice Secretary, Dominic Raab, wants the board to focus far more on the potential dangers before it decides to free murderers and rapists. The Eye paper's front page suggests people take a COVID test before Christmas shopping. It's based on changes to Cabinet Office guidelines, which call for the public in England to use a rapid lateral flow before heading to high-risk settings. Separately, the paper carries a poll which suggests that nearly half of the UK adults support an a definite lockdown for unvaccinated people. The decision by the Brit Awards to scrap male and female categories is the Sun's lead. It pictures Adele and Ed Sheeran, who it says will have to go head-to-head. You know how much I love both those artists. The organisers argue the categories will now celebrate artists solely on their music. Adele and Ed Sheeran in the celebrity deathmatch for Christmas. And the Daily Mirror has the story of a retired decorator who's turned the interior of his council house into a Renaissance masterpiece after buying an old book about Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. Photos show how he's transformed the walls and ceilings of the three-bed property in Brighton, where else I hear you cry, with colourful frescoes and paintings. Home is where the art is the Daily Mirror's headline. Well done indeed. Looking at the front page of the webpage of El País, looking at the, in Spain, wave of protests over price hikes puts a damper on recovery. Truckers, farmers, auto and metal workers, hairdressers and pensioners are all staging marches against soaring production costs and inflation. The next pandemic, how COVID-19 has accelerated the emergence of super bacteria. Health authorities warn that antibiotics are losing their effectiveness against disease and that humanity faces a future in which any minor infection could prove lethal. And the killing of Diego Bello in the Philippines, how the police version was debunked. A new investigation has disproven the first official explanation of the 2020 killing, which claimed the 32-year-old Spaniard was a drug leader who had died in a shootout. And also, Spain sets its sights on Europe's retirees. Interest in retirement communities for independent seniors is starting to grow, with one complex in Valencia selling to an international fund for 35 million euros. Looking back on those front pages in the UK, just to see exactly what they are saying. From the top, starting off with The Guardian, Johnson is losing the confidence of the Tory party. Picture of him in Peppa Pig world wearing a beanie. Benny from Crossroads springs to mind, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, meanwhile, the Metro, looking at a Peppa Pig's ear, PM accused of losing the plot in a rambling speech to the CBI. He compares himself to Moses, makes car noises, and praises the cartoon Porker. Yes, anyway, looking at the Financial Times, Northern Ramble, Johnson's speech to CBI stokes all anger at number 10 team. Also, the Daily Telegraph, cut taxes or Brexit will fail, says Frost. Minister warns against European social model amid reports of Downing Street unrest. And also palace anger at BBC airing royal rumours. The Daily Express, Boris shrugs off a pig's ear of a speech, and it's a national emergency, says the Express. Anger at migrant crisis, that's according to the Express. Daily Mail, parole shake-up to keep public safe. Raab believes system is adrift from core purpose and vows reform amid fury over release of child sex killer. And also palace blast at BBC over unfounded royal rumours. The Times leads with Tories on turn on stumbling Johnson after chaotic Peppa Pig speech. And also a picture of J.K. Rowling on the front. And also Britain put at risk by civil service groupthink. And finally, as always, the Daily Star. Let's see what they say this morning, shall we? Because obviously they're going to be entertaining. The Daily Star says the PM loses plot in making pig point, adding that Mr. Johnson compares self to Moses on climate. Keep taking the tablets, etc. The paper asks, could someone at number 10 please check on Bozo Johnson? It adds, we're a bit concerned after the PM gave his oddest speech yet. Its headline, a pork pie short of a picnic. He imitated the noise of a car engine. Bizarre Bozo speech on Ahem Peppa Pig. And those, for better or worse, are your headlines this Tuesday, the 23rd of November.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook. Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the ways to get in contact with us, 952 78 4000. Going straight to the WhatsApps, as we often do. Good morning to Richard. He said, the UK has had enough some time. Hardly anyone wears a mask here in London. Yes, I was talking to this about a friend who'd flown over from the UK only last night about the situation in London. And... he sent me the Pfeffel pig. Okay. Okay, got you. Moving swiftly onwards, almost half support an indefinite vaccinated, indefinite unvaccinated only lockdown in the UK starting in December. To what extent would you support or oppose an indefinite national lockdown in the UK starting in December 2021 for those who have not received at least two COVID-19 vaccinations? Overall, 45% would support this lockdown, whereas 32 are against it. Over 55 year olds, 55% support and effort. So across all the barriers, there seems to be a couple of points in it, but 52% to 33 amongst Conservatives, 44 to 33 amongst Labour supporters. Only one against this is the 18 to 34 age group. 39% would oppose this, 29% support it, whereas 35 to 54 age group, 46% against 32, and as I said before, 55 plus, 55 to 26. Thank you for that. Moses, Victor Moses, he doesn't do the autocue, hence his issues. This is Boris Johnson rambling, losing his pages, an embarrassing silence, an embarrassing speech by a Prime Minister who seems to be losing his grip and his party seem on the verge of turning on him, as the Tory party are wont to do. This is over 30 years ago since Margaret Thatcher's Light of the Long Knives. But anyway, you would have thought an Etonian could number a page. Yes, well, there you go. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Always live, always lively. 18 minutes into the show, and I think we should go live to our invited guest on the panel today, our sole panellist. In today is Jamie. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. On this, a little bit cold. If the listeners don't know, you absolutely get yourself together by having a cold water swim every morning. Shades of the Iceman Hoff.
Yes, it started out as a bet and became totally addictive.
Yes. You're bright eyed and bushy tailed, I'll give you that much.
100%. You know, after you've done that in the morning, everything's easy.
So then, listen, we've got a variety of points to go through today. I know you're itching to get going. Should we start on the... I'll just be reading as you're coming in, this thing about, forced lockdowns for those who haven't been vaccinated, seeming to have the majority, well, a 55 against 46, I think it was. That's probably the wrong figure. That's definitely the wrong figure. Let me get it up again. 45 against 32, supporting an indefinite unvaccinated-only lockdown in the UK. What's going on in your opinion? Jeremy, is this a medical necessity, you think, to help stem the flow of the virus?
I know you're just trying to wind me up here, Giles.
Me? Never.
Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, how do you define what's vaccinated and what's not vaccinated? As we can see from the most vaccinated countries in the world, Gibraltar, Israel, a couple of others we can mention, the spread of the virus is not really impacted by the number of people vaccinated. The most vaccinated parts of America, the most vaccinated parts of the world in general that have done the studies have got the highest spread and Israel in particular and Gibraltar have got worse results after rolling out the vaccination. So the idea that the spread is somehow to do with unvaccinated people it has no scientific basis whatsoever. So the idea that, like they're doing in Austria and now in Germany, and obviously they're going to threaten in the UK, that they're going to lock down unvaccinated people who have still a very, very small chance of actually having any issues with the disease, and have no, there's no difference between the spread in the unvaccinated as with the vaccinated. Plus, it seems like they're going to change the vaccinated status. So ultimately, it's just going to continue. There has to be a point where we basically admit that the disease is here for forever. Yeah. It's going to wane in strength. It may well be more viral in that it spreads, but, you know, hospital figures are down. I just don't see why there would be any reason to lock down the unvaccinated. Even, I mean, given the fact that when they say lock down, I don't really think they mean it from a health point of view, because they're still going to let them go to work. They're still going to let them go to the shops. So, and they're still going to be able to get on public transport. So if you're saying that these people are somehow dangerous and contagious and they're going to do some damage, just keep them in the house, or do what Australia's doing. Just ship them off to camps in Alice Springs and just isolate them completely from society. These things are just absolutely over the top, completely unnecessary, and there's no scientific backing that they actually stop the spread. I mean, the bottom line is that the vaccinated are spreading the disease, and they're just wandering about thinking that they're bulletproof. They're not. They're right. Spreading it, and they're catching it, and they're going to hospital, and they're dying. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have to just learn to live with it, protect those who are at risk, for sure, but everyone else has just got to get on with it, as far as I'm concerned.
And do you think that they're moving the goalposts in terms of what a vaccinated is? Because it was, at one point it was one vaccination, then it was two vaccinations, and now it's two vaccinations plus the booster.
100% they're moving the goalposts. I mean, you look at the countries that have gone furthest down the line. Israel's already changed it to three. It's going to be four shots. So, you know, this vaccination that was supposed to be the panacea, that would solve everything, we're now seeing that, at the start, we were looking at the situation with virtually no data. We had to rely on big pharmaceutical companies saying to us that this was 100% effective. They've just walked that back to now saying, and this is all official information, I'm not some kind of conspiracy theorist, this is the CDC, this is the Lancet, this is the BMJ, this is the, you know, official bodies, supposedly trustworthy bodies, are saying that it doesn't stop the spread, it doesn't stop infection, and that the effectiveness is now down to maybe 3 months. So a rolling boosters, essentially, is what they're saying, in order to remain vaccinated and to go back into life. If you contract the virus, which many of us have, myself included, according to the data in Israel, you have 9 times more, probably more than that, but a minimum of 9 times more immunity to the virus. So the cognitive dissonance at the moment is just beyond a joke. I don't get it. I don't understand why people can't put two and two together.
952-78-4000. This coming in. The issue is the vast majority of those on COVID wards in hospital at the moment are unvaccinated. COVID-19 is no longer a disease of the vaccinated. The head of the Oxford Jab Programme has said the ongoing horror of patients gasping for breath in hospital is now largely restricted to people who are unvaccinated. That's according to Professor Sir Andrew Pollard. Even though the more transmissible Delta variant continues to affect thousands, most of those who are fully vaccinated will experience only mild infections, and they are little more than an unpleasant inconvenience. We can learn to live with it, says this one, if people aren't selfish. Does anyone want a vaccine? No. Is having the vaccine less risky than getting COVID? Yes. Rolling boosters was inevitable since day one. Any sensible person knew that COVID would last years. I certainly did.
Okay, fine. I mean, look, at the end of the day, with regard to these, everything's a claim, nothing's a fact. But I've seen plenty of information that suggests that the vast majority of people, or the majority of people who are in hospital, are double jabbed. I mean, Israel to boot, Gibraltar to boot. These countries are completely vaccinated, and they've still got similar rates of hospitalization. So in other words, it doesn't seem like the vaccination has any major impact on the situation. If you want to take it, happy days. Go and take it. I just don't understand why everyone else has to be forced to take it, and certainly to have their rights to work, their rights to travel, their rights to congregate removed from them. If someone could sit there and definitively prove that the vaccine stopped spread, stopped the endangerment of other people around you, and genuinely had a major impact on your ability to survive an infection, happy days, crack on. But it still should be up to the individual whether or not they want to take that risk. There is a 0.098% hospitalisation rate.
Just run that above me again, sorry.
Sorry, I think it's 0.098 mortality rate, which is basically the same as the flu. I'm not saying it's the same as the flu. People will jump on me for that. I'm not anti-vax. The people will jump on me for that. The reality of the matter is that this is still not a major killer, the way it's been portrayed. And, you know, on average, looking at the data, the people who are dying are over the age of 80, minimum 2 or 3 comorbidities. Yes, of course, some people have died and they're younger, but people die of flu, people die of pneumonia all the time.
952-784-1000. Morning, Corey, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Jamie. I wish we'd got Dr. Jerry on, because I think if we got Dr. Jerry on, he would say some very different things, and he's more qualified than Jamie. Jamie, you're an unqualified, you're not anything to do with medicine. Now, I understand that most of the people who are dying are people who haven't, in ICU and all, are people who haven't been vaccinated. And what worries me is that you're coming to viewpoint with some sweeping generalisations. I like to listen to news items that give out the data, specific data, and compare data between groups of people and countries, not people who come on and say the data shows that without giving us any proof or evidence. And the BMJ says this, so it's all so sweeping. You don't give any individual detail. You haven't obviously done any detailed research on this. And I know you're entitled to your opinion, but where life and death is concerned, I think you have to be a bit careful how you put things, and that's my point.
Sharon,
thanks
for those. Jamie, sweeping generalisations.
It's difficult to present a PowerPoint presentation on the radio, to be fair.
Then you shouldn't come on.
What? Okay, so how am I going to do a PowerPoint presentation on the radio? I don't understand.
I can't believe
this whole show is based on opinion, yes, and interpretation of what's happening around us. Do you dispute the fact that Israel at the moment has worse results post basically the entire...
If you don't know
what Israel's stats are, then go and have a look at them.
If you do know, because I've read the stats.
All right, well, so you don't know and I don't know, what's the point of the conversation?
I'll just shut it down, right? You've got the wrong guest on. Thank you.
Oh. Well, look, at the end of the day, I'm not talking about stuff that's just been plucked out of the ether. If you look at what's happening in Israel, if you look at the recent letter from The Lancet saying that the idea that this is a problem based on just unvaccinated people, these are all, as I said, medical journals. These are stats coming out of, you know, respected nation states that do their proper data collection, and they've produced it on various different platforms. The fact that it's not in the mainstream news doesn't mean that it's not a genuine piece of information. Plus, just because one doctor says one thing, another doctor says another thing, doesn't mean that one doctor is right, another one should be marginalised. The whole point of science, and this is what's another theme that we need to talk about, that science is all about debate. Science is all about disproving this and disproving that and coming to a conclusion eventually further down the line. At the moment, anyone who disagrees with the idea that the unvaccinated are causing the problems, masks work, lockdowns work, rolling boosters, anyone who disagrees with that is painted as some kind of a psychopath. I'm not suggesting in any way that we shouldn't protect people and we shouldn't be looking after people and we shouldn't be providing care for people. But the idea that these measures have worked, we can see clearly over 2020 that all countries took basically a different... No one took one route. Everyone took a different route. And if you look at the zones across the world, they pretty much have the same results. Europe pretty much has the same result, whether they locked down or whether they didn't. And same with, you know, look at the states. There's you know, depending on the baseline health of a nation, I would say that is a bigger indicator of what's actually happened. If you're morbidly obese and you have lots of other issues, you're going to have a problem.
952-78-4000, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costabank.
Morning, Kate.
Reinforcing or trying to some of Sharon's points, I think I was most shocked yesterday to read an article, anon, in The Guardian, which was stating something along the lines of ICU units are being totally eaten up by non-vaxxers. And I'm personally, you know, I'm quoting the article, and I'm personally getting fed up with it. I.e., there are a lot of people who are afflicted with other things than COVID or not, and who can't get the treatment that they need because the system is overflowing with people who've refused vaccinations. That is the biggest argument I've heard against anti-vaxxers.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, at the end of the day...
It's not... You're presenting it like there is information on both sides. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a lot of information.
That seemed to me a bit of concrete information.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. If you want, I'll just read out the letter from The Lancet. I mean, it'll be pretty boring radio, but ultimately The Lancet have produced their letter, I think, 2 days ago, saying that the idea that we should blame this on unvaccinated people is unscientific. It doesn't back up the data that we can see from America or we can see from the major states who we can trust in terms of being able to test and trace and do proper analysis. I mean, obviously, you're not going to go to like sub-Saharan Africa to try and work this sort of stuff out because they just don't have the infrastructure. But if you're talking about Israel, United States, and UK...
can I interrupt you a second?
Go for it, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Just simply, the... In what seemed to me concrete information that the person writing in The Guardian said, that are all the ICU, I've forgotten what the terms, people who need desperately...
Intensive care units.
Sorry?
Intensive care units.
Intensive care units. All are being taken up now by those people who've not had any kind of vaccinations. If that is true, then there's a lot of people who need the ICU treatment but can't get it. And that seems to me wrong.
Yeah, no, hey, look, if there's plenty of evidence to suggest that, that's absolutely fine. But I'm looking, science is a messy subject. I'm not a scientist, but the idea that I can't read a scientific paper
and my point is, people have been treating this as though it's a freedom of will issue. It isn't. It's a public health issue. And okay. It seems to me, from what I read, that people who ought to be able to expect ICU treatment are not getting it because their place is being bunged up by people who have decided not to have vaccinations.
I get you. Do you think The Lancet are crackpot conspiracy theorists who base nothing on any medical fact?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Because ultimately, if you look at countries that have had mass rollout of vaccinations,
I'm talking about
Gibraltar at the moment has a higher rate of infection than anywhere on earth. That is fact. There's no disputing that. That's all over the news. It's been publicised and it is absolute fact. They are 100% vaccinated and they're going to cancel Christmas. In other words, what I'm saying to you is the vaccine itself, take it if you want it. It will reduce your symptoms, I think. But that's about it. It doesn't stop spread and no one should be persecuted as a result of not having the vaccination.
I'm saying that the anti-vaxxing attitude is about gumming up vital resources.
Kate, I've got another call coming in. Please feel free to call back in a bit later. Live and lively as always. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Jersey. I had intended not to call in, but I felt compelled to do so. Well said, Jamie. You seem to me like a man that's driven by common sense and not just by fear, as most people are, as it's evident with the callers that are coming in. They've lost the ability to reason. Everybody's fallen for the fear to such an extent that they are basically brainwashed. Yeah. So we know the vaccines are not working, and we're also promised that you just need to be free, and then now it's supposed to and everything else. It's a bit like playing Russian roulette, isn't it? You just keep putting a bullet in a gun until you overreach yourself and make a mistake. But what I wanted to say was that there's a real danger here. I hear how people are speaking. It's becoming more and more militant on both sides. We're in a really dangerous situation here where we see the violence starting to happen all over the world. We are sleepwalking into a nightmare. In other words, we're winning a battle against the virus. We're sacrificing something fundamentally innate and so precious, which is our humanity towards one another. When we should be moving closer to nature and reconnecting, we are taking our immune system and ourselves down an artificial route when we should be reconnecting with one another.
Right.
Right. Instead of isolating and dividing, we're doing just the opposite. We are going down a really treacherous road. Why don't they just shoot all the people that won't comply or guillotine them and shove them in the
Jason, you always just go a little bit too far with that particular point. I see the reasoning, my friend.
I speak what I perceive, where it's going, and everybody mollycoddles it. Right? We look how far we've come in 2 years from where we were, and you tell me where we're going to be in 2 years hence. The dating points keep moving in people's minds of what is acceptable. And everybody's swept along like rolling down a mountain in a barrel. And only when it breaks open, people wonder how the hell they got to there, but it's too late. It's all about control and fear, right? But I will not capitulate to this fear. I am immune to this fear, and I will not comply to this fear. Because I'm free. I was born free. It's not something you can give and take away from me. I am free. I'm a free person, just like you. You can't impose the will on a person to do something they don't want to do. Medically, it's illegal. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much for those points, Jason. 9527 8 4000. Got another call coming in. Always live, always lively. Morning, Cooley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Shirley from Callahonda.
Morning, Shirley.
If you're going to start saying that people who haven't had the vaccination don't deserve their space in the ICU, where do you draw the line, Giles? Do you then start saying, well, people who smoke and give themselves lung cancer, they're not allowed either. And people who get too fat and give themselves diabetes, they're not allowed either. And what about the people who take part in dangerous sports and they injure themselves? No, sorry, you can't come in. You've done this to yourself. Where do you draw the line? And it can go on and on. In the end, the only people eligible are those people who stay home all day and don't do anything, don't go anywhere, don't see anybody. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for that point there. Got another caller coming in, live and lively, as always, on Viewpoint. 9527 8 4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
This is Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. Has Jason not noticed he's applying for reconciliation and then saying shoot people? That's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thanks very much for those points indeed. 9527 8 4000. Let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps, Jamie, before we wind you up and let you go off again, because it's been somewhat entertaining as always. By the way, you can't call in on the WhatsApp number. I think you can on Stephen Ritson Drip today, but I can't bring you in on the WhatsApp. So if you want to make a point on WhatsApp, which is actually, I will refresh your memory on these numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
9527 952-784-4000. Sorry, we're making some on the hoff. We're making some on the hoff on the hoof decisions over programming in the second hour. We've got a belter coming up. Right then, let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps. And good morning to you all. Mick comes in. Morning, Giles. I think he's spot on. I presume you're referring to my guest, Jamie. Claudia comes in. Sorry, but everything Jamie is saying is rubbish. My opinion. It's good to have. You see, the thing with viewpoints is
very well. Sorry. Put together argument though.
Yes.
I mean,
real
structure.
Not
oh, sorry,
this.
You might have some evidence.
Just stop playing devil's avocado, you. Right then. The thing with viewpoint is, it is, you know, I know you're going to say this is dangerous. Some people say this is dangerous misinformation, but if we have a viewpoint where we all sit around going, yes, isn't it awful? We'll have the most boring show possibly on the planet. And believe me, I've done some in my time. None of us are, this is, Gladia, thank you for that one. Another email, WhatsApp in saying, none of us are scientists. Perhaps we should stop talking about our own unprofessional opinions. You should have another guest on, so at least, there's an actual or unprofessional debate. Thank you very much for that one. Also, this one in, Jamie should not be airing his views on TRE when he's not qualified as a virologist, scientist, or medic. It's viewpoint. It's your views. And this must be very clear to the listeners. We have a disclaimer at the end of viewpoint, just to let you know. We're at a critical point in the evaluation of clear COVID. And the last thing we need is Jamie airing his ill-informed views. TRE has a responsibility to air guests who do not undermine vital public health messages. If you listen to the end of viewpoint, you will see that is what we say at the end. Countries that have a small population, like Israel, Gibraltar, Ceuta, etc., will have bigger statistical swings. Thank you for that one. Listening live, I just want to say, wear a mask, get vaccinated, and avoid unnecessary indoor gathering. I am not a medical professional nor a scientist, but did a few online courses about the COVID-19 pandemic during last year's lockdown from OpenWHO.org, official platform of the WHO. My analysis is based on reading, listening, live discussions and debates. It's still a pandemic, so wear a mask for your safety. From Furhat in Benidorm. Thank you very much indeed. This in from Gio. Good morning to you, Gio. This is in from Unreported Truths, which I'll have to check. Alex Berrison, Substack. Okay, fair enough. I'll have to come back to that one in a second. He's bringing in Joya saying that according to his information, unvaccinated English adults. Anyone can test. This is a meme. Anyone can test positive from practicing anything from a PCR test. You can find anything from anybody. Doesn't tell you that you are sick. And your argument is ill-conceived, Jamie. Oh, you've got a disclaimer. Oh, that's okay. Right then. Looking at this, almost a plane's worth of people. Let's start from the top here. Right, that makes the assumption, Jamie, that all people in such hospitals are nationals of that country. The mortality rate for COVID is over 2%, and almost 5.2 million people globally have died of this disease. In the grand scheme of things, nothing, sure, but almost a plane's worth of people are dying in the UK every day from one thing, COVID. You're entitled to one's opinions, but not one's facts. So Jamie's mortality rates are wrong by 100%. Surely the question is it safer to be vaccinated or unvaccinated? COVID-19 is no longer a disease of the unvaccinated, the head of Oxford Jab Program has said. I just posted that. This states the opposite. The Lancet letter is the opinion of some scientists, not all scientists. Israel is also not entirely vaccinated, nor is Gibraltar, the most infectious state on Earth, even by cases per million.
They're not entirely vaccinated, but they've got the highest rates of vaccination. And I just don't get this idea that somehow, because it's a small state, that these facts are sort of irrelevant. But if you look at America, again, California, I assume, has probably got higher vaccination rates than Florida. Florida's got better results.
9527.
Indisputable.
Good morning, calling you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, hello, good morning. My name's Terry, phoning from Calpay.
Good morning, Terry.
Just to put things in perspective, over the last week, they have been saying in the ICUs, the percentage of non-vax people was 7 to 3. Now it's dropped to 6 to 4. So that means there's 6 non-vaccinated cases to 4 vaccinated dealing with the coronavirus. So it's not all one-sided. And the figures do look as if it's to pan out whereby it's going to be sort of equal. So it's not just saying, oh, it's the unvaxxed that they're causing all the problem, because that's not quite true. And the figures are changing. So some of your viewers, some of your people phoning in are very one-sided about it. And I think we really still don't know enough. And I'm very grateful that you've got your guest on, who's given us, he hasn't had the chance to give us the, or I haven't heard him yet, give us the Lancet article, because I'd be very interested to hear that. But anyway, thank you for having him on. I think he's a good source to give us plenty to think about.
Thank you for your call in. If you want to get involved with today's live and lively viewpoint,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio@tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And to studio@tre.radio, thank you for your guest, Jamie. He's talking sense, and I'm so tired of the narrative, cap T, cat M, from the mainstream media. We should be able to discuss this without being attacked by the brainwashed general public. The goalposts are constantly being changed. If you die and have only one jab, you're classified as unvaccinated. If you are double jabbed and the last one is over 6 months old, you are classified as unvaccinated. The situation in Gibraltar and Israel prove that we need to study the effectiveness of the vaccine. Once again, thank you, Jamie. And that's from Katrina. This in on the WhatsApps as well. Let's have a look. Look on the okay, quite a few things coming left, right, and centre. This is perhaps worth quoting. Thank you for your WhatsApp. What does the data on hospital admissions show? An analysis of UK data from the National Immunisation Management Service (NIMS) and the Coronavirus Clinical Information Network (COTHIN 1), endorsed by the UK Scientific and Advisory Group for Emergencies (SAGE 2), shows that 40,000 patients with COVID-19 who were admitted to hospital between December 2020 and July 2021, a total of 33,496, 84%, had not been vaccinated. It found that 5,198, 13% of these patients had received their first vaccine, and 1,274, 3%, their second. Phones are going absolutely crazy this morning, so let me get over to the phone lines as well. Morning, Cooley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Sharon again, Alley County. It's not a question of whether the vaccines work or not. That's another sweeping statement. What they said, most medical people, I've heard several epidemiologists, I don't do mainstream media. I do everything, by the way. I do everything from the Daily Mail to the conspiracy side of things. And what they're saying is that the vaccines don't sustain the antibodies for longer than 3 to 6 months. I can't remember the exact data. So it is that people accuse people like Kate and I of being mainstream media. I'm not. I'm actually the reverse of that. I have been a skeptic, but with this sort of thing, I do believe that there's a case for the greater good. Now, so they are saying that we may need booster shots for however many years to come yet, so every 3 to 6 months. The lady who phoned in with examples.
Hello? I seem to have cut. Hang on, let me just try and get you back on there. But my apologies.
Contagion involved, and it's a very, very different type of example. Thanks very much.
Sorry about that, Sharon. I just lost the second half of your thing there. There was a technical hitch. I hit the wrong button. Can you just say your last point again, please?
Yes, yeah, certainly. The lady who rang in with examples such as the dangerous sports or smoking, would you refuse a place in ICU for those people? Well, no, I wouldn't. But that's a very, very different thing. That is contagion. That is not a pandemic. But with a pandemic, we're talking about contagion.
Thank you very
much. Totally different concept, and you cannot compare the two.
Thank you very much for the point in there, Sharon. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. Oh, sometimes I just can't believe what people are saying. This is... Forget all the... People keep saying about the science of this side of it. What we're discussing here is whether it is correct to have a two-tier society and be able to lock down one half of the society because of their beliefs against the other side. And as the lady said before about the smoking, the drinking, is a subject I brought up a long, long time ago, and she's exactly correct. More people die of smoking-related diseases or a drink-related diseases, whether that's drinking and driving, killing someone on the road, whether it's cirrhosis of the liver, whether it's destroying your family, more people are affected by drink or by smoking than anything that COVID can do. Yet nobody seems to be bothered about that. So this is a them and us thing. And as for the science, the CDC had just come up with a report, and this was done on military personnel. Military personnel, the reason it was done was because they're pretty much all living the same lifestyle in the same sort of environment, same demographics. And it turns out that if you have just 3 cans of soda a week, we call fizzy drinks or whatever, sugar flavored drinks. Now, if you just have 3 a week, your likelihood of being hospitalized from COVID goes exponentially upwards. Now, also...
Be back after this break.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Live to lines again. Morning, caller 11 TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, caller. Peter.
Yes.
Apologies, I cut you off by mistake there. So I'm still haven't got my Luddite mind around this newfangled system, so my apologies.
Okay, no worries. As I said, this seems to be the people suffering more are the unhealthier people. And I'm not blaming these people. If you want to smoke, drink, take drugs, do what you want, I'm for it. If it makes you happy, you do it. But my point is, I've said before, I have a bulletproof immune system. No doubt, maybe one day I will get this. I've actually spent time with people with it, deliberately attempted to get it, so that I wouldn't have to have the vaccination. Yet I don't seem to get it. So maybe there are people who never get it. Now, with my immune system, as I said, Jamie, you mentioned cold swimming. I cold shower. I yogurt breathe. I practice autophagy. I do everything that is possible to scientifically proven to enhance my immune system. My immune system is very, very, very good. I have no problems with my immune system. Now, why should I be forced now to change my lifestyle and have a blanket medicine that I am not needed of, I don't require and don't need? Because there are human beings on this planet who will not get the COVID, never get it, but they're the people that need to be checked on to see if it can be passed on to others. That's how medicine works. We shouldn't just blanket everybody all the time and just keep injecting everybody. But as I said, the question is here is, are we really prepared to go down this line of separating humanity into two things, those that should and those that shouldn't, whether it's COVID or not? Really, I mean, Kate, I believe you're a religious woman. What do you think Jesus Christ would have done with walking amongst the... Would he side with the vaccinated or the unvaccinated?
Ooh, Peter, that's a slippery slope and a half,
well,
my friend.
Exactly. But, I mean, what about Princess Diana? Do you think she'd have held hands with the unvaccinated or the vaccinated? I mean, it is absolutely crazy, and people are missing the point. And you can throw these cliches out of this scientist said that and this scientist said that, but it's a much... bigger picture what we're doing. And it's ironic that the one place that they're talking about locking down the unvaccinated, we're looking at Austria and Germany. Wow. You know, you couldn't make this up, could you? You really couldn't make it up. But as I said, if you're a healthy human being, your chances of being hospitalized are very, very slim. And if you lead a healthy life, the chances of even you get it are very slim to going into hospital. So let's look at why so many people are sick. Let's look at why people need to be hospitalized on such a regular basis. Let's look at why people are on so much medication, lifelong medication, not something to get you over a bump, not something to give an operation to sort out a lifelong injury that's not set properly. Why are so many people on so many drugs for the whole of their life? And these are the people that are being hospitalized, nobody else. So let's look at the big, big picture here. Let's just stop bitching at each other and saying, he said, she said. Let's ask ourselves, do we really want to go down the road of separating humanity into two groups?
Peter.
Those that should and those that shouldn't.
Thanks for the call. Okay, always good to hear from you as well. Going live to the lines once again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gusblinker.
Yes, Kate.
replying. Replying to Peter's accusations, he said I was a religious woman. I have always been interested in religion. What Christ would have done in these circumstances? Open question. I'll search my brain for the and comment.
I think if any of us think that we know what, you know, what the Christ would do in this situation, we have delusions of grandeur, Kate, surely.
but one answer, he talked about Princess Di. Now, what she, one of the two good things she did, and I limit it like that, and the other one was about the cluster bombs campaign, was that she opened up very, very clearly to society, generally, the papers, etc., that it was perfect, you couldn't catch AIDS from... human contact. And she demonstrated that. And she helped ease some of the antagonism against HIV, etc.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a quick answer to Peter. And I'm just searching my memory as to whether I can come up with a quick one from Christ. Cheers.
Okay, thanks very much for that one. I'm glad we got out of that one without too much theological damage anyway. Right, into the last minute of this first half of Viewpoint. Just a quick one in from Liz in Brighton. Reported Israeli paper says 17% of people eligible for vaccine but not accepted it to account for 60% of deaths from COVID-19 in the past 2 weeks. So vaccination appears to work. Also, no vaccinations were developed to prevent serious infection and death, nothing to do with transmission. I've got a host of emails.
That's not what they said at the start.
Well, sorry?
That's not what they said at the start.
Right.
It was the panacea. I mean, if you go back through the tapes, they
panacea
can see...
Panacea says it would just mean it had nothing which made you feel better. If it was a panacea.
Sorry. Thanks for correcting me. I was just trying to sound intelligent there.
That's my one medical point that I know, you see.
Oh, good. God.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. So.
Well, yeah, but if you go back through the tapes and you look at Fauci and you look at all the sort of major figureheads, they were all saying that it was going to, like, that's it. Once we take the vaccine, everything's back to normal, no problems whatsoever. And they roll back all the time.
952-784-1000. Once again, it has been a very live and lively first half of Viewpoint. More to come in the second half. I'll get through many of the WhatsApps coming in. Thank you. Some of them I can read out. Some of them I can't read out for various reasons. But as I said before, to some of you sending in your thoughts on this Viewpoint, the idea is that we have discussion on this program. We're not making any claim. I'm not giving any endorsement to any views that are coming in. That is not the nature of the program. Right then, coming to the end of the first half of national and international news, and then back for more Viewpoints.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively today, proving no exception. If you want to get involved with today's show...
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official. Or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952 78 4000. Let's go to some of the WhatsApps, emails, and Facebook messages. All sorts of people say all sorts of things. I was explaining what the developers, drug companies, Oxford researchers were asked to provide. Looking at some more information coming in through, coming in via the various media. Let's have a look at what people are saying. Go to the WhatsApps. We go right then. From Felix about Michigan, these repeated waves are also taking a terrible toll on healthcare staff. Shortages mean that they are being asked to take on extra shifts indefinitely, which has a significant impact on their morale and attitudes. As one nurse from Kalamazoo, Michigan said, I've seen more deaths in the past 18 months than in my entire 18 years in nursing. This one coming in. Load of rubbish said about Gibraltar cancelling Christmas. He needs to read the Gibraltar Chronicle about what Fabian Picardo, the chief minister, has said about Christmas denying this. Also, there is only one person in hospital in Gibraltar. If he also studies the daily figures published for COVID cases in Gib, he will see that unvaxxed cases are kids and the vaxxed cases are under 50 and have not yet had boosters. Pre-COVID, winter flu would probably have shown the same number of contracted cases. That's from Sally in Gibraltar. That's just getting stuff in from Geo, but I can't read it at the moment because it's taking a while to load. Hi, Giles, Andy in Fuengirola. Your guest who keeps mentioning that scientists have said the vaccine is the silver bullet is talking rubbish. They've always said it will help prevent more severe symptoms and hospitalizations. They've never said you can't pass on the virus if vaccinated. It's like wearing a seatbelt when driving is compulsory, but it doesn't mean if you're involved in an accident, it will save your life. It just gives you a greater chance of surviving. I, like millions of other people, haven't had COVID. Well, at least I'm not aware if I have had it. But to claim it's because I have a fantastic immune system would be an idiotic claim. We go live to the lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
Just quickly. Won't make the end of the show, unfortunately. Kate mentioned Diana showing that the AIDS virus was not infectious. If you do your research, because a lot of people don't realise that he looks good for his age, his Fauci is in his 80s. And the head of the NIH back during the AIDS crisis, the people giving out all the information about AIDS and how contagious it was and we should all lock up our daughters, was the one and only Mr. Fauci. So I think his track record is not good, because he was the man responsible for causing the AIDS scare or the HIV scare. So, and if Kate would like to come back on, maybe she could quote Psalm 23:4, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear not the unvaccinated, and you know the rest of it. So right. I'll leave you on that one.
Thank you very much for that, Peter. Nothing like a quick biblical misquote to get the people, to get the heathens going. Right then, looking at the, now, back to the WhatsApp messages. I think I already went through this one. I know, here we go. Your guest Jamie is wrong. He is spreading misinformation, national immunizations. It's fine when your guests phone in with their opinion, but when an it's fine when guests phone in with their opinion, but when an invited studio guest is given airtime, at the very least, they should be introduced with a resume of their qualifications to speak, for example, on COVID vaccinations. Listeners can then decide for themselves whether the guest is speaking with knowledge and authority or just on narrow research to support a personal view. I think the listeners here are making their... But thank you for letting me know how to run my own radio show. I really appreciate that. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. You know, I mean, hey, what can I say? Right then. This one. Okay, here's a hand grenade. Jesus never existed. That's one in. Thank you so much for that. Blimey. There's another one says, blimey. Just when you think I have reached the point where I could get no more insults. And I've already been called disgusted twice, you know, within the past 2 weeks on this one. So we're treading a very thin line here, listeners, okay? Anyway, and then we have the vaccine thing, and then somebody whacks in Jesus never existed, and you just think, okay, fine. You know, I might as well just throw the mics open. Okay. Stick Peter in a crowd and see how he fares. Because some people make bad choices. They smoke, they eat too much, they don't vaccinate. Simple, really. Jamie would appear to be a person who that would refuse to get out of a car falling down a cliff, because at the start the rules had said to stay in the car. Yeah, that's not, I'm reading what's coming in, and also, coming back, Jesus never existed. Prove he did. I'll wait. Right then, let's go, to the lines. He said with trepidation, but hey, let's see, what we got coming in. Morning, Cool, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Spanker.
Hello, Kate. Sorry, I lost you there. Sorry.
Kate, Costa-Panker.
Yeah, morning to you, Kate.
Right, bye. Peter, Christ, or Jesus Christ, did exist. There's historical proof of it.
Right.
The evidence was that he would not be recommending that you gratuitously court leprosy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Steve. Thank you for that. Indeed. Right then. Moving swiftly onwards, let's go to the lines, more lines as well. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Listen, Giles, you're doing a sterling job. It's very difficult to be balanced when the problem is most of the views are in favour of all this vaccination. So you're doing a good job being fair to people. What I would say to those people, you don't have a monopoly on righteousness just because you've got one view. And I'm gonna say something. I don't believe in God, but I believe in nature. I think if there is a God and some kind of force, as a Hadron Collider is going to prove soon this year, the results are going to come out, physics proving it, that there's a force in nature. To go against the force of nature by artificial means, well, you know, it's absolute folly. And just to smash people's illusion of morality on the vaccinated side, you've got the moral ground, right? Answer, everybody says yes. Well, why are you clamoring for your booster shots when the third world ain't even had the first vaccines? Because even in your language, that's just as selfish as the unvaccinated side. And that's a valid point that you can't. Why is that okay then? If you think that everybody's been selfish who's unvaccinated, why are you just even more selfish, thinking of your own self-preservation? You're not thinking of humanity or other people. All you're bothered about is getting your boosters and clambering to front of queue. It's like standing on the head of somebody else when they're drowning just to save yourself, and that is more selfish than anything.
Thank you for your call in there. Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously been a lot of debate, and there's obviously been, you can see divide lines across, you know, society, across the media. Well, not actually across the media, it's blanket one-way media, if you're talking about establishment, corporate media. But I think there's a few points to make. Ultimately, it's science. I mean, look, everyone can sit there and slag me off for not being a scientist, but I can read, and I do try to read as widely as possible. And I think guys who are epidemiologists at Harvard, who have been doing it for years, who are members of the CDC, who are pro-vaccination, who have their opinion on what is being kicked out by the data, should be listened to. But these people can't get on the news. And the point that I think is becoming clear is that there is like a narrative, and there are a number of flaws in that narrative. Most of the claims that are being made by governments in order to justify draconian lockdowns, two-tier societies, are not based on what we can see as fact. And, you know, if there was an obvious conclusion, then fine, but there's not. And I think there's so many holes in what we're being told, that the idea that we can't question it, the idea that we can't have an opinion on it, that the idea that we can't resist these extreme measures, which don't seem to work, is insane. I'm not anti-vax. Anyone who wants to take it can take it. I personally wouldn't take it because I've had COVID, and based on what we all understand, natural immunity is far more effective than any kind of artificial immunity. The other thing to bear in mind is, if this is all about the health of the world, why is this not a generic drug pumped out for free to everyone at no cost. There's a lot of profit being made here at the moment. There's people, I mean, I believe Pfizer, this is their most profitable drug release of all time. And I just think that that totally contradicts the idea that these people are purely there for science, purely there for health, and purely there for the good of humanity. They're not. And we can clearly see that that's not the case.
And we go live to the lines. Morning, Cody, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Cody, hello, Giles. It's Sharon again, yeah. Alicante. Jamie, a question for Jamie. Have you had a test lately to see if you've still got the antibodies from having had COVID?
I haven't.
I think you might be wise to take one. You may find you still have the antibodies, but there's no proof that because you've had the disease, you still have the antibodies, as I understand it.
Well, I don't know. I've read a lot of stuff that says that's not correct, and that the antibodies from any compatible coronavirus will last in your system for a substantial... I mean, we're talking years.
Well, we're talking months as far as I know. We've obviously read different things, and again, it's down to opinion, but I was just making point.
Science is about debate. I understand you've read certain scientific papers. I've read certain scientific papers. That is science. That's the whole point. The whole point is that you're allowed to disagree with each other, and it shouldn't then be enforced on everyone that there's one opinion that works. And that's just not... That doesn't seem normal.
Okay, but I've got to respond to Jason, Giles. Is that all right?
As long as you don't sort of swear down the line at him, absolutely.
I didn't swear down the line before.
No, I'm just being flippant. No, please respond.
Okay. Right. Sorry. Jason, my point is, the trouble is, I'm vehemently in agreement with Peter about immune systems because I've got a challenged immune system. Totally agree with you, Peter, but I still think that there are two things to look at here, that we've got the contagion side to look at. I've got a lot of respect for Peter, as I said before. And regarding Jason, well, you don't have the monopoly on righteousness either, Jason. So, you know, that's both either of us. Regarding the third world, yeah, I totally agree with you that we are still... I haven't had my booster yet. But if we were to refuse the booster, it would render the first two vaccinations useless, because if you believe as I believe, now you can call me crazy for believing it, probably I am, perhaps I am, I don't know, but my antibodies may well have worn off, which would then render the cost of those vaccines that went out to the first two vaccines that went out to everybody, that would be called waste. And if you value nature, you don't value waste. If you value nature, you don't value waste. So I would not want to waste the initial resources put out on the vaccine by not having the booster. I wish, personally, I would have quite happily waited for my vaccines whilst past South Africa or whoever had had the vaccines that haven't had it. So I just think, I totally agree, the third world, it's an absolute disgrace that we've ignored poor countries. But I'm not responsible for that. And I do not want to waste the cost that went on the first two vaccines by having my booster, because your antibodies wear off after so many months, not years, as I understand. Your guest to say. Anyway, that's my point.
Thank you for the call in there. No, okay then. 952, let's give you the numbers one more time.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And the final point I'm going to make on this one, because we're going to move on to something else uncontroversial in a minute, is this one in, who says, Giles, I bet you wished you'd gone to Peppa Pig World today. Thank you very much.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000. You want to get involved with the show?
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, we are back and everything is up and running. Pardon me for the cackle.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
As I was saying before, the thing with Viewpoint is the fact that we have some ideas for programmes, and then guests can come in and say, well, what about debating this? So we're going to move away. I'm not going to go down to Peppa Pig world. I was going to do something as well on the situation the Prime Minister finds himself in. It's all right, Jamie, you can get involved with Peppa Pig world in a minute if you wish.
Looking forward to it.
Exactly. And we're also going to look at something to do with perhaps a situation where Europe finds itself with immigration, and both on the border with Poland and Belarus, and that particular kettle of fish, and also the knee-jerk reaction that some would say that the British government is having against the floods of migrants, quote-unquote, coming across the channel. Now, it's Jamie's turn to cackle. But Jamie just said to me, and it was something I was actually going to come to, but I hadn't forgotten to written it down, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Now, off you go.
Okay, so
that's why I was cackling, by the way. So anybody wants to know why I was cackling, is that Jamie said, let me go away with that, and so I laughed at him, which is why you heard me laughing off stage.
Well, I mean, in the spirit of throwing bombs and watching them explode...
Are you going to give us a background here?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little background. Okay. So, basically, I was aware of the Rittenhouse case, didn't really research it, wasn't really that interested. Another classic gun violence, some kind of idiotic shooting, blah, blah, blah. However, I think what it does is it highlights major issues with regard to what we read, the lack of research, or the manipulation of what's happening. So my initial impression of that was, just absorbed passively the information. White supremacist Trump gun fanatic takes AK-47 or whatever it was, cross state lines to shoot Black Lives Matter protesters. That statement has been peddled out by every major mainstream organization.
Right.
Bar none, apart from Fox, right? Now, I'm no Fox fan, but in this particular occasion, I've looked at the trial. I've looked at other journalists, including someone like Glenn Greenwald. He points out a number of things that really kind of fall down. That particular kind of like synopsis of the case is just utterly wrong.
Okay.
So first one, the gun that he had was bought and kept in his stepfather's house, I believe, in the other state. Right. So this idea that he crossed state lines, again, is a misnomer, because he didn't like drive 3 or 4 hours to jump into a protest. He went there as far as the evidence in the court went to protect the local village that's 30 minutes drive from where he lives, and was seen on camera taking off graffiti, defending shop owners, blah, blah, blah. That was his initial involvement in the march. The person, or the three people, I think, that were shot. So two people died and one guy was shot in the arm. The first guy was clearly seen. He'd just been released from a mental institution. He was carrying a bag of his own feces. He was in the crowd. This is all documented. It was all in the court case. He was out and about in this protest, a white guy. This is the other thing to bear in mind. This white supremacist shot three white people. Everyone seemed to think that he shot black people or Black Lives Matter people. Exactly. But he shot white people, right? Yeah, so this white supremacist shot white people. Anyway, so this chap, the first guy that he shot initially, was literally, you can see in videos, trying to instigate something completely bonkers. His rap sheet is absolutely ridiculous. He was on medication. He had been in for abuse, rape, loads of horrible things, right?
Right.
Not saying he deserved to die, but he did attack this kid.
Gave his own feces.
Well, he threw that bag of feces, but then there was a point where he felt he was under threat. Now, according to that, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but the reality of the matter was that according to the court and according to the evidence and according to the prosecution, according to the defense, they could prove that was a self-defense shooting. He then ran off looking for police, got attacked again, got hit over the head.
It's the skateboard thing.
Skateboard got hit on the head, and a guy who came to him with a gun in his hand, that was dropped out of all the coverage as well. The guy had a gun and he was pulling it, and he shot him again. So look, I'm no fan of the gun laws in the United States. I'm no fan of you know, white supremacists or anything like that. The evidence to suggest that this man's a white supremacist, the evidence to suggest that he is some kind of, like, he crossed state lines to go and shoot people, is very weak. Hence the reason why he's not guilty on every single charge that he was put up against. And what it, for me, shows is that what we're fed in the media... And, I mean, the vast majority of people who were commenting on this case were not aware of the fact that he shot three white guys who were... He was running away from that situation. And he was, you know, you can see in the videos, completely in justification in self-defense. But most people who are commenting on this case, saying it's an absolute disgrace, blah, 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 don't even know that he didn't shoot black people. He shot... white people who were attacking him with guns.
It doesn't matter who he shot. He was. Why are we having 17-year-olds, you know, going to run automatic weapons?
But that is a separate issue. Right. It really is. I'm not talking about whether he should have had a gun or not. I'm saying that the way it's being peddled in the media is so... it's factually incorrect,
right?
And people just jump on the bandwagon, and it's you know, you're leftist, you're crazy right wing gun nut, and that's not a debate. The reality of the matter is that he went to court, they couldn't prove anything, and he got off. And the way that it's been sold is that he's some kind of crazy...
But in the current political climate, at this thing, do you seriously think, Jamie, that if Kyle had been, you know, African American, he would never have got away with this? He would have been gunned down by the police.
That doesn't mean he should go to jail, and it doesn't mean that he should be the major facts of this case should be completely and utterly ignored by the 80% of the media. They just ignore it. Most people who are commenting on this case can't even name any of the actual major salient facts. They don't know.
The other fact is, you know, this case, but okay, so what do we say then to the fact that you can argue that Kyle Rittenhouse has been hijacked by the right on this one? He's raised over $1 million for his court thing. He hired the best defense lawyers. He went through, this wasn't his first time in front of a jury in terms of he'd never been convicted of anything, but they had mock juries. They absolutely made sure that he was prepared for that trial.
In terms of the disparity of wealth and, you know, the help and favors that a white man in America gets versus a black man, look, again, I'm not saying that is a good thing or a bad thing. It's obviously a bad thing. You know, if you're a black man and you get arrested in America, you're kind of screwed. However, this is not the point. The point I'm trying to make is not really specifically about this case. What I'm saying is that people have, when that case came to the you know, the media's attention, it was framed in such a way as to create tribal division between the left and the right. And no one is most people are not looking at the facts of the case, and they're using that as a stepping stone into other arguments. And what I'm trying to say is that the media at the moment are irresponsible. They cannot be called, they cannot be, the definition of journalism is being completely tread on left, right and centre. These people are pumping out information in order to fuel argument, fuel division. And that's the real point I'm trying to make. I don't really care about Kyle Rittenhouse, whatever. The bottom line is that this type of thing and the way it was covered is absolutely detrimental to any kind of functioning society. The idea that you cannot have an opinion if you're part of one tribe that contradicts the entire opinion of that tribe is really dangerous. Mm. I mean, me and you are old enough to remember that you could have a debate in a bar with a Tory or a Labour guy or an SNP or an SDP guy, and we would all be pretty civilised about it. You might have a bit of a needle in it at one point or other, but the moment I say anything that's contrary to certain narratives, people think I've literally lost my mind when I'm trying to remain sane in this kind of like sea of information.
Yeah, but in a world where politics is confined to the soundbite and people's attention as long as a TikTok, it's you're either black or white. There are no nuances, Jamie.
100%. You know, fighting for nuance in this world is like the main thing at the moment, because, like, you know, there's certain media organisations now that are just a farce. you know, they cannot be trusted. They're peddling their own narrative. Anything that contradicts that narrative is not reported. That is not journalism and that is not news. And unfortunately, people don't have the time to have a think about it and obviously don't want to think about it. I mean, why should they? They should be getting on their lives and enjoying themselves or earning money or providing for the family or whatever. But it's becoming seriously dangerous when something like that, which is so, you know, it's just incendiary that you know, the idea that he was sold as a white supremacist who carried a major, you know, a machine gun, a military grade machine gun,
yeah,
and went into a crowd of people to shoot them. That is absolutely not what happened. And if you look at the evidence, you look at the videos, you can clearly see, if you're using an objective mind, that's not what happened. However, that's how it was sold. And that has created more problems. And it's like everything is taken that way. Every major incident is like, you know, the right takes it or the left takes it, and it's just war. There's no nuance, there's no debate, there's no sanity, and people are losing their minds over this stuff at the moment.
Also, he's going to be appearing on Tucker Carlson tonight on Fox News on Monday. That's going to put a what's it among the...
Yeah, but here's the thing about Tucker Carlson, right? I mean, I hate that man. I've always hated that man. However, he's making, has made, I mean, he makes idiotic points, but he also makes some really good points.
And well, what I'm mainly, mainly but wait a second. He's a firebrand.
Yeah, 100%. But so are the CNN, you know, and the MSNBC equivalents. You know, they are in their own way, you know, peddling their own version of firebrand and myths and you know, incendiary comments. The point of the thing I was going to say was, if you try to look at the real independent, the best journalists in America, Taibbi, Greenwald, for instance, these guys are prepared to straddle both sides of the argument in order to have nuance. And they get then pilloried by the left or whatever, criticised by either side. But I would say that these are the people that we should be looking at for, you know, objective truth or objective opinion. Because at the moment, you can't get that from Tucker and you certainly can't get that from Maddow, for instance.
It's some bits and pieces coming in here. So I'm no Fox fan, but had Kyle Rittenhouse been black, he'd have gone down, and he's now going to sue those who defamed him. CNN make incendiary comments. They are report on facts, not opinion. Or tinfoil hatis. This one in. Jamie seems to think that media bias is new. It's always been so, but now split opinion. Now splitting opinion. No, sorry, start again. Jamie seems to think media bias is new. It's always been so, but now splitting opinion makes it easier to sell advertising online. Looking at some more bits and pieces. Best to be judged 3 than carried by 6 with the world rather he was dead, not defending him. Okay. And let's have a look at some other bits and pieces coming in. We're okay. We're up to date at the moment with those. If you want to get involved with the show, then these are the contact numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio, in case you hadn't gathered by now, by Jamie, who's always good to have him on board. Let's go to some other bits and pieces that were coming in. I'm getting some more bits and pieces coming in through the various media. I just want to turn attention just quickly to, as we're into the last 60 minutes of the show, looking at the situation with immigration. Immigration sort of, I heard this, the expression for the first time the other day, that Belarus is weaponizing immigration because of the situation you have on the borders at the moment. And this is a situation that doesn't seem to be going away. And coming around this morning, listening to, obviously, Jamie, you probably say, you know, the dreaded BBC news on the way down. But what's happening, we were getting this
reports coming in of this impending humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan. Now, many people say, oh, well, they had it coming because, you know, the Taliban came in and the whole thing. But it's going to have a knock-on effect. You're going to see people, you know, people fleeing Afghanistan because they are in danger of starving, going to, you know, into countries next, you know, into neighboring countries, and eventually working their way through over to Europe. You know, and so are the reaction of Europe and the West to immigration, and it's all very well for you know, Priti Patel, who seems to be, you know, has been recently
seen.
Sorry,
she seems to be insane.
Well, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it on Viewpoint. I'd just like to say the disclaimer before we get to the disclaimer. Thank you, Jamie. But no, I mean, she's gone very quiet on this, and Dominic Raab has been... Don't move. Dominic Raab has been... He was heading towards the microphone there.
He has worked out that we live on an island, though.
Yes, he has. Yeah, he knows that's good. Yeah. And Afghanistan, yeah. But no, the reaction of this and the border force and the Labour, you know, Labour were yesterday saying, listen, they brought in another cabinet minister to deal with this. There seems to be no joined-up immigration plan, even though Germany takes in more immigrants than the UK does. France takes in more immigrants than the UK does. You can stop them selling kayaks in Decathlon. But, you know, do we need a joint... My take on it is, you know, we need a coordinated European take on immigration. Yeah, we need to stop. People will not leave their people do not want to leave their homes. Yeah, normally, you know, okay, you know, we have immigrated from the Great Britain and come to Spain, but the majority of people would not leave their homes in Afghanistan, in wherever, were it not for
a genuine reason.
A genuine reason. You don't,
you know, like they've been carpet bombed for like 30 years.
That would be enough. You know what I mean?
Well, I think. You know, in terms of the immigration stuff, I mean, obviously it's a hot topic for, you know, the extreme Brexiteers, and, you know, the Tory party have ridden off that and used it to maintain power and get votes. When you really look at it, you know, you can't sit there and genuinely criticise someone for travelling to the UK via wherever they do it, dinghies and whatever, unless you acknowledge the fact that the reason why they're traveling, by and large, you know, I would say the vast majority, is because their homelands have been destroyed either by us as a country or as a part of a joint effort to destroy that country. So the major influx is coming from Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. And we are partly responsible, if not entirely responsible, for, you know, the destruction of those countries. Most of these people would never want to leave their country unless they had to. Of course, there's going to be some bad eggs. There's going to be some people getting in there and doing it for the wrong reasons. But I can't see any reason why these people would take these risks that they are in order to, you know, feed their family and survive, unless they had a good reason. The other thing to bear in mind as well is that we cannot exist without immigration. I mean, someone I was listening to a call-in show similar to this one, less professional, obviously.
Oh, thank you very much.
But basically, that someone said, "Well, but
look, Peppa Pig did a radio show, but there you go."
But his argument was, "Look at Japan. Japan is a completely one." They're very homogenous. It's basically just Japanese people there. They don't have a lot of immigration. And the host's counterpoint was, yes, and they're screwed because they have a massively aging population. They're not producing enough kids. So the reality of the matter is we have to deal with immigration. We have to. We require it. All countries in Northern Europe, any modern wealthy civilization without immigration will die because people don't produce enough kids. There's not going to be enough labour. There isn't a tax base. And basically you're going to be left with a colony of pensioners. So we need immigration at one point or another. How we do it better, I don't know. But the idea that Priti Patel's coming up with, what was the...
Albania. She's talking,
No, she's talking about some kind of a camp in Africa. You never heard of this?
She was talking about a detention centre in either Ascension Island or Albania.
I thought it was America.
No, it was Albania. We have reached the stage of government where we are now talking to the Albanians... Right? Mm. The Albanians. And if you've read P.J. O'Rourke's Eat the Rich book, which I advise everybody should do, because he was in Albania.
I do need to read a bit more.
Yeah, of course you do, because you don't have... It's all that stuff you've been reading out of the mainstream media, you see.
He's been banned now, isn't he? He's not allowed. He used to be able to write for Rolling Stone, and now he's just no chance.
Well, we've got Republican Party reptile, absolutely. But, you know, he said that, you know, Albania was quite a place. But the thought that we are now, you know, it's such an easy target for certain segments of the media. You know, and if you put an isolationist agenda at the top and go, it's their fault over there, then you are on a really slippery slope. So, yes, looking for, you know, I mean, you know, and just looking at the, you know, the front pages of certain of the newspapers this morning, and, you know, pictures of you know, these desperate guys coming, you know, men and women in tiny boats. Mm. And we have this. I mean, if you're still on the desk and looked out the studio, you could probably just about see the Mediterranean from here. Mm. You know, and we have this every year. I mean, thousands making the trek, and it just makes you wonder where we're going on immigration, how we can possibly deal with those problems.
But the idea that we can't deal with these immigrants is nonsense. We totally can. You know, you rejig the figures, you spend less money on X and you spend a bit more money on Y, but ultimately most of these immigrants, when they come to our countries, you know, modern countries, most of them are tax positive. They want a job, they want a home, they want to look after their kids. That's the majority. There's a bunch of people who are taking the mic.
Right.
But these people, you know, they should be dealt with for sure. But this idea that we can survive without it, the idea that you can close your borders, and the idea that these people are doing it for malicious reasons is nonsense.
Looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in, and the numbers to get in touch are...
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going back to some of the WhatsApps coming in, it's not just immigration. Climate change will mean death of hundreds of millions, and they will die. Millions will head north. Repeat, not just immigration, also death of perhaps a billion. Is a future of total chaos? Thank you. Thank you for that. That's looking at a bit bleak. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, coordinated European action. What, you mean like a union? Yeah, thank you very much. You forget, Giles, that politicians are short-termists. They will never plan. After all, they think immigration only came from the EU. This one in. We can't even house our own war veterans. Loads of homeless on the streets. Liverpool particularly disgraceful. All seems a bit back to front to me. Thank you for those comments. In looking at some bits and pieces, thank you very much for that comment. Good to hear from you, D. And always nice to know you're listening in. So yeah, we'll see where we go with that one. Into the last 8 minutes or so of today's Viewpoint. Don't forget, you can catch me doing Let's Talk Through the Week.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Into the last 7 minutes of today's show, Jamie, you wanted to make a couple of points before we haul you off the airwaves.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this may seem like I'm sort of struggling to join dots that don't really exist, but I do think, though, that, you know, what we've discussed with regard to the Rittenhouse trial, and obviously just any discussion on the science, on efficacy of COVID vaccines, of masks, of lockdowns, any discussion on these topics are forming very similar lines. And I think one of the people said, oh, yeah, of course, Jamie seems to think that there's only media bias now. I mean, obviously, I know there's been media bias forever. But what I'm trying to point out is that these discussions are extremely important. I mean, this is the first time where everyone, pretty much, especially in the modern world, has been impacted by a threat that, you know, affects all of us.
Yeah.
And our response to it has been so disappointing. You know, I think at the beginning of it, when we were talking at the start, I was obviously very pro lockdown and whatnot. And I was kind of hopeful that there was going to be sort of some kind of, it would be some kind of unifying effect and have some kind of unifying impact on a broken and fractured, you know, post-Brexit, post-Trump society.
Yeah.
But what it's actually done is, you know, 22 months down the line, divided us even further.
Just want to come to a point. Just want to come to a point here. Well, before you break into a chorus of "We Are the World," just looking at this one. Aidan, thank you for your email. I just kind of came across it. Morning, Giles. I think he's spot on. I have COPD with a lung capacity of 25%. I believe I had COVID at the beginning of January 2019 when it all started. I'm unvaccinated and will not have a PCR test. I was refused medical help last week in Malaga. They wanted me to take a blood test. In order to take blood, they wanted me to have a PCR test, the vaccine and flu vaccine, before they would do it. I refused and was told that I would have no more treatment. The world is running around like Chicken Little. The sky is falling in. That's from Mick. And just a quick one as well. Response is disappointing because Muppets never take it seriously. He refuses to wear a mask in public. Interesting one from Mick, though, wasn't it? You're saying the whole thing. I mean, this whole thing about he won't have a blood test, won't have a PCR test, vaccine and flu, so he's refused and told no more treatment. And as you're saying before, rather than unifying, you know, it seems to be splitting. And now I know that a lot of people will say, "Oh, well, you've got some cheek because you've had, you know, the guest on today who has been disseminating misinformation." Try saying that after 15 coffees. Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
again, that's another sort of you know, slur or slant that, or not smear that people throw about. I mean, in the day, like, you know, the last guy that I listened to in any real depth, well, I mean, obviously, I tried to listen to in depth, but, you know, this guy's an epidemiologist from Harvard, you know, a member of the CDC, you know, consultant to major pharmaceutical companies, been there for 20 odd years. If that guy is a tinfoil hat crazed lunatic, then, you know, because he's not saying what everyone else on the media is saying, or what, you know, the vast majority of people are believing is the truth, if he's a crackpot, then we're, you know, as a society, we're scunnered.
Scunnered, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, if people like that can't voice their opinions based on their, you know, years of experience, then I don't understand where we go from there. Because, as I said, it's splitting up families. I mean, I've got examples of husbands and wives, like, literally, you know, divorcing over these topics. And that doesn't seem particularly healthy, and that's the one thing that worries me. But I do see, though, that there's a number of people who are starting to at least question what we're told about various different things. I mean, it's not just the COVID thing, it's pretty much everything. You know, we have been peddled a narrative, you know, throughout, you know, the last 100 odd years, 200 odd years.
Well, that's
and that's the nature of, that's the nature of the thing.
I was about to say that's just the nature of how we take our medium, because of the revolution in how we receive our media. Now everybody is there, and I keep making this point, everybody is their own editor, and there is so much information out there that, you know, how do you check what is real, what is not real, especially with something like this, or with, you know, something like you said, the Rittenberg shootings or whatever. There seems to be just a morass of data, information, and it's getting tricky to be your own editor now.
But I think this is the time where, you know, the internet, in a sense, is sort of coming into its own. I mean, the example you could use, I guess, is, like, you know, everyone sort of harks back to the days of newscasters who could be trusted, and you know, the news was the news, and everybody sort of agreed with it. And I think a lot of people are scared of, like, just, you know, various sources of information all coming, and it is overwhelming. I mean, I think you can become completely bogged down in too much data. However, I think it's really healthy that there are news sources from legitimate people, or who would be classified as legitimate people because they had jobs in, say, the New York Times, or they had jobs in the Guardian or whatever. But these people are pointing out that you need to be looking at different sources. You can't just be, you know, looking at one you know, side of the argument. And the idea that we can't have these discussions, because I think that's what's happening. You know, ultimately, if you have a discussion about certain topics online, you know, in the utilities, because that's what they are, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, they're public utilities now. They're not private companies. Most people are using that for all of their information and communicating through the, those channels. However, the way that they are censoring on any topic that they don't feel is according to their narrative is really dangerous. I just don't get it. I don't understand how people think that's okay.
Interesting points indeed. Right then, we are almost out of time. It has been, once again, another live and lively viewpoint. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. My thanks to my guest, Jamie. Jamie, once again, good to have you with us this morning.
Yes, it was a pleasure. As always.
Good to have you with us. Thanks for all your points in as well. As you will be aware at the end of the show, there will be a disclaimer running. Thank you very much. And I will see you tomorrow with Let's Talk. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.